Well, greetings, Carolina Catholic Media.
A special discussion this morning on a unique charity within our city with the St. Matthew Catholic Church. This is their World Hunger Drive, and it's the 21st year of the Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive. We have a group of folks with us here this morning. Steve Favory, he's one of the co-leaders, along with Debbie Kane. She's a co-leader. Deacon Darren Bitter's with us. He's a deacon at St. Matthew. He's also on the leadership team there. And Ernest Dwight, a parishioner at St. Matthew, but also a board member for Hands of Haiti. So we're all going to chat with them this morning to understand clearly what is the World Hunger Drive, the Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive. So good morning, all. Steve, let's get started with you, the history of the Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive.
Why the Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive? Where'd that name come from?
Okay, sure. Monsignor McSweeney was the pastor of St. Matthew's at the time. So when Joe George and Mark Creaser came back about what they saw in Haiti, he was all ears. And he became very passionate about the World Hunger Drive. And better yet, he had a vision on how the World Hunger Drive could grow to be more than just providing food. That's critical. But he also knew that education was important, sustainability, and also the spiritual growth. So he became the driving force behind the World Hunger Drive. For example, we went and visited a church that was doing a meal packing, and we're thinking about doing one for St. Matthew's. And they did 10,000 meals. Mark and I thought, okay, we'll get aggressive. We'll see if Monsignor is willing to do 25,000 meals. And we talked to him about it, and he said, yes, we'll do it, but we needed to do a full container, 285,000 meals.
Whoa.
So when this shows his commitment to the World Hunger Drive and his vision. So when he announced his retirement, the World Hunger Drive staff and the St. Matthew's office staff got together and said, well, how can we honor him? And we all concluded the best we could do is name the drive after Monsignor McSweeney. And then it was a surprise. And when we did his final mass, we went up there and announced and showed the new logo with his name on it. And the whole church assembly cheered when they saw that.
That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive, the name there.
How did it get started? How's it grown for, what, 21 years now?
Yeah, it's actually been amazing. It started back in 2000, and in 2001, there was two parishioners that made trips down to Haiti, Joe George and Mark Creaser. And they got down there, and they were shocked what they saw, how bad it was. And they asked several people, what can we do to help? And the one answer that came back from all was send food. And that was the starting of the World Hunger Drive back then. And in 2002, we shipped our first container. It was a half a container, a 20-foot container. And from there, every year since, we've been able to ship a container, even through the pandemic, even through the earthquake. We actually had two drives during the 2010 earthquake because they were so negatively affected down there. Over the 20 years, because we're just starting the 21st year now, we've shipped over 4.1 million pounds of mostly food and supplies.
That's amazing. That took off. Yeah, yep. That is amazing. A container holds how many meals, so to speak?
Well, it holds 44,000 pounds of food. So depending, and we have shipped some supplies down too that are greatly needed down there. And that took 105 containers. And to make that happen, St. Matthew's parishioners had to commit 48,000 service hours over that time on that.
That is amazing. I've participated in quite a few of the meal packing events, and, yep, and a lot of the folks turn out and give it a lot there. That's amazing results. And I would think this year is just going to be big, if not bigger.
Yep, we'll get into the goals later, but yes, we every year we stretch a little further, and we've been blessed to be able to hit our goals each year on that. The Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive has expanded with focus on education and also sustainability. And with that said, we are shipping funds down to support both of those.
Okay. And Debbie, we talked about the parishioners participating. How many people get involved in this? I mean, a lot of folks devote their time, as well as families, right?
Oh, absolutely. So there are over 1,400 volunteers that come to the meal packing event that one day. But it's incredible. But it's not just the meal packing event, though. It's an all-year event for the core team, which is about 35 people. And we started meeting in March of this year just to plan for this year. And we've got an exceptional team, amazing people who have donated their time. So we've got people who are good at project planning and accounting and marketing and nursing even, and shipping and the logistics. And our shipping and logistics team has such a great reputation for successfully getting food and supplies to the poor that others outside of our parish reach out to us to get us to ship their goods over to the poor. And we work all year long to ensure the poor have food and supplies they need, and emergencies come up. And we do our best to respond quickly and to help. And our parishioners want to be a part of that. They want to help. I mean, we've got people who because of illness or family responsibilities, can't be involved, can't get in there and do things. And they'll call or email and say, you know, can I do something from home? I mean, because there's such a sense of purpose and satisfaction for helping others through our drive. And so we just want to be there for our parishioners to help them.
You know, the meal packing event is amazing in itself because it's an efficient, well-run machine. It is, knowing how packaging operations run in my prior career, I am always impressed on how efficient and how there's no waste. Everything just goes off very well planned. Steve Haiti, gosh, you know, it seems like our whole life, they're always in dire situation. I guess they don't have a functioning government these days. Tell us a little bit about the environment there.
Yeah, I've been down there 3 times this year, and you keep thinking it can't get any worse, but it does. It's just shocking. And you're right, Ed. Now there's no legitimate government. The gangs have taken control of most of Port-au-Prince. The kidnappings are common. There's a shortage of fuel. There is no electricity. And all this is on top of the extreme poverty on that. So it's been a very difficult situation. It's, as I said, it keeps getting worse. And, you know, with the assassination of the president, it just continues to spiral out of control.
Steve, how do we keep our people safe when we're down there?
Luckily, the gangs are running Port-au-Prince, but the north, which is CAP, which is the main mission we support down there in the school, it's relatively calm. They still have no electricity. They still have shortage of fuel, shortage of food, but at least the gangs have not taken over there. And we've been blessed. Every container we've sent has made it to its final destination, and the meals went to the poor that we planned on that. And even with these bad situations, the school has grown year after year, and the brothers have been able to continue to serve the poorest of the poor.
I'm sure we'll talk some success stories here in a bit, but Deacon Darren, we also support with the Missionaries of the Poor in Haiti. Tell us about that organization.
It's a beautiful organization, Ed. It was actually founded in 1981 by Father Ho Lung. They're based in Jamaica. And as Steve alluded to, and we've been talking about so far, our attention is largely based in Haiti because that's where we feel the greatest need is for the people of Haiti, but also for the MOP. I would like to mention that there are the MOP, the Missionaries of the Poor, is a monastic religious group, and they have brothers right here in our backyard. In fact, they're at mass with us on a regular basis. They participate in our events and some of our planning. They support the poor right here in Mecklenburg and Union County. So it's beautiful to see some of the brothers here in Metroline and in the Piedmont. They, as I said, we support much of the majority of their efforts in Haiti. They run a mission, as Steve said, in Capetian, which cares for over 200 severely disabled children and elderly. If you can imagine, just allow your mind to go to a place where of extreme poverty and imagine the poorest of the poor. So these are poor people by Haitian standards. They have been abandoned, some cases out of necessity, just pure neglect. These are young children. These are infants, some that have been dropped off at the door. They're elderly people that even the Haitian government cannot care for. And the charism of the missionaries of the poor is to care for the poorest of the poor. They run food lines for the local community, as well as the, what we call the residents, both the elderly and the children that they support. They live with them on site with the brothers. In fact, the brothers at the MOP took over a facility that at one point was run by the Haitian government. So they serve and distribute the meals that we pack in South Charlotte. And as you alluded to, seeing the door shut in South Charlotte and seeing it open in Cap-Haitien, as I've been there several times, truly not a grain of rice is lost in transit. So it's beautiful.
Folks, here on Carolina Focus this morning, we're talking to the folks of the Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive over there at St. Matthew Catholic Church. Deacon Darren, I think you're getting ready to tell us a personal story. You've been there often, you know, of someone that this organization has impacted.
Well, yeah, there's just so many faces that run through my mind. I think about the people that work with the brothers to serve the Haitians there in Cap-Haitien. You know, I remember one time, you know, there's a school nearby that we also support. Elderly woman with probably 12, 13 people living in her probably one, maybe two room home. She invited us into her home and gave us a bag of chocolate, which was probably infinitely valuable to her. It just out of pure gratitude and thankfulness for feeding her family, feeding her community. You know, it's so interesting. Mark Creaser, as Steve alluded to, our one of our founders, God rest his soul. He used to always say, you know, they never worried about tomorrow. They only worried about today. And his other comment that's always stuck with me is their joy is so perpetuating. It's so infinite. And their joy is giving what little they have. It's like the woman with the lost coin. And they have so little, but their joy, their poverty is material. It's not spiritual. And it's almost like, you know, in the United States, perhaps it's the other way around for us.
Yeah, how about
and
that?
There's just so many countless examples of smiling faces that I recall. And the Haitians have, by our standards anyway, nothing.
Hey, thank you, Deacon Darren. Ernest, how about a story about the Hands for Haiti and the St. Mark's School? You know, school was founded back in 2008. Tell us a little bit about that venture. It's a spinoff, yes, but it's part of this whole initiative, right?
Well, it certainly is one of the beneficiaries of the initiative. And Steve and Deacon Darren have both mentioned Mark Creaser, our late founder of Hands for Haiti, which in 2008 or 2009 realized there was a need for a school out in northern rural Haiti, out in the countryside, where there were about 20 kids were learning under a tent that was basically a tarp stretched among between four trees and kids sitting on the ground. And Mark and Steve decided, let's help these people build a school. So back then, 12, 14 years ago, we built classrooms for first and second graders. And when the second graders finished, we realized we needed a third grade. And when the third graders finished, we realized we needed a fourth grade. So every year since, we've added another grade. Last year, we finished adding grades all the way through grade 13, which is their high school, secondary school, they call it. We had our first students graduate from grade 13, and we currently have about 375 students in our school. This year, we've been under construction with trade school so that when our students finish secondary school, we have the opportunity to help them learn some job skills. There's incredibly high unemployment in Haiti. And so we've begun the trade school with sewing. And as the sewing begins to take hold, we're going to shift on into adding additional courses, probably agriculture and some other things that can be helpful out in the countryside in Haiti, carpentry, woodworking, welding, masonry, et cetera. But the thing that I found so appealing about the work with Hands for Haiti and running the school is, unlike a lot of organizations that sponsor mission trips to poor parts of the world, where a team of people goes for a week and maybe they paint houses or they maintain, fix things up, and then they leave. I was overly impressed with the permanence of what Hands for Haiti is doing with running St. Mark's School. We have boots on the ground. We employ 60 or 65 Haitian staff. We educate, like I said, over 375 students. Students get a meal every day from the meal of the food that we're sending down to Haiti through the World Hunger Drive and our partnership with Missionaries of the Poor. So we're providing health, we're providing educational opportunities, we're providing faith formation opportunities for those that want to learn about and become Catholic. And mostly, an overview, we're providing opportunity, because that's the one thing that people in Haiti don't have, is opportunity. And so we're blessed that we've got supporters that have helped us do this work and will continue to help us do the work.
Ernest, I understand, I could hear it in your voice, the passion you have for this. I understand your donation and your passion for this. I'm almost asking the question, why do you do it? But it's paving the road for the future, isn't it?
It is. And we really have seen the impact that we're having with changing lives. When the school started, we had a school nurse on staff because we had so many kids that were malnourished. It was obvious from looking at them. But now that over the years, we're providing a hot lunch every day, and with a hen house to lay eggs, provide eggs for us, and with a tilapia pond to provide fish, we're able to supplement the meals. The net result of that is our students are healthy. We no longer have to have a nurse on staff because our kids are nourished, and it's impossible to learn if you're hungry and you're thinking about when you're going to get your next meal. Many of these kids, the meal they get at our school is the only meal they get that day. So we're really, really changing lives. And that's easy to see when you go down to Haiti and interact with the people there.
Deacon Darren, you were mentioning earlier the brothers. These are the folks that raise the chickens, the pigs, and the goats, aren't they? They are are they farmers? I guess they are. Tell us about those guys.
Well, when you serve the poorest of the poor and in the areas that they do, I think you learn to be able to do just about everything. Historically, we even sent them solar panels and telephone poles. I mean, really to be self-sustainable, because the people that they support truly are on the margins of life. And it's not just a hunger issue, as Ernest alluded to. It's a health issue sometimes, right? So they have to have a certain level of infrastructure. Right? I mean, a reliable water source. We installed actually a well out near the school at St. Mark's that was just mentioned, that we affectionately call Starbucks, because a lot of the people that live in the area tend to gather around that place at various times of the day. So, but it really is, Ed, about creating sustainability. We can continue to send food to Haiti and so many places around the world, and it does make a difference, but it's not going to move the needle. It is making a huge impact in these people's lives, hundreds and hundreds of people's lives. But there's 11 million people in Haiti. Nearly 5 million of them are suffering from extreme hunger today, right now. It's nearly half the country. So instead of, in addition to just sending them food, we've really put a huge emphasis and have throughout this entire 21 years on creating sustainability projects and opportunities that's wrapped around education. So we're not just putting a Band-Aid of food on it. Yes, they need to be healthy with medical care and nutrition, but this is about teaching them to sustain and to provide for themselves, giving them sources of repeatable sustenance. As Ernest mentioned, the tilapia ponds, the chickens, the pigs, and the goats. And this is going on with the brothers, with the missionaries of the poor in Capation, as well as at the school about 40 minutes away in a small area called Tremez.
You know, also, you mentioned around the world and maybe even here locally, Debbie, World Hunger Drive, yes, heavy emphasis on Haiti, but other places as well, correct?
Yes, indeed. So we also help the poor in Venezuela, India, and our local community. Father Alberto has a lunch program for the poorest and most disadvantaged children in the San Francisco de Assis Parish in Venezuela. And we help to provide lunch for 300 children, three times a week. So that's 3,600 meals each month that we're providing for those children. And then in India, we have a boys' hostel in Satna that we support. The drive feeds boys from poor areas in India so they can go to a nearby school. We provide nutritious meals for the entire school year for them. And then in our local community, we provide cash and meal packs to local food banks to support the homeless. And this year, we plan to expand support to Union County as well as Mecklenburg County.
Debbie, that is so beautiful. You know, folks here on Carolina Catholic Media, we have been chatting with the folks over at St. Matthew Catholic Church and Monsignor McSweeney World Hunger Drive coming up on the 21st year. Steve, bring us home on this whole discussion. You know, building a bridge of hope, sustainability for these folks in Haiti and other places. People are listening this morning to the show. How can they get involved? How can they support? Talk to us.
Sure. Yeah. First of all, our efforts, we've had made a tremendous impact on the poor by providing them a bridge of hope, either at the school, at the dining hall in Venezuela, at the hostel. So this year, our goal, which we always increase, is to raise $340,000. Which will translate into at least 8 containers being shipped. We're going to pack over 300,000 meals to be shipped down also. So it's not an easy goal to get to, for sure. We're going to need everybody's help to achieve that. One thing that really resonates with our donors is $100 will feed a child for a whole year.
That's amazing.
And that really hits at home for a lot of people on that. So please give. And we have shortened the link so you can end up right on the donor page. And the link is, I'll say it, it's rebrand.ly/World Hunger Drive. And if you just insert that, you'll be right on the donor place. And thank you. I mean, we want to thank all our donors, our parishioners that make this happen.
You know, the fundraiser started back in mid-July. The packing event is August 12th, coming up next month. And it's such a worthwhile adventure. I don't know. It's hard to put words around it because it's not only just feeding the poor, right, Deacon Darren, but it's helping the sustainable, helping folks kind of feed themselves going forward. And you're building a culture there. Deacon, any final words for the group as we conclude here?
Well, as you just kind of led into, we really are focused on the whole person, feeding the whole person, mind, body, and soul. I genuinely believe that the people of Haiti and the people that we support know that we love them. I would just ask and continue to pray that the graciousness and the charity of the, you know, the faith community that have supported us for the last 20 years continue to open their hearts, their minds, and wallet, and support those who have nothing.
You know, our prayers go out to all of you at St. Matthew for this great work. Steve Favory, co-leader, Debbie Kane, co-leader, Ernest Dwight, parishioner, but he's also the board member of Hands for Haiti. And of course, Deacon Darren Bitter. Folks, thank you for your time on this Sunday morning. God bless you and what you do, and best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.